If you have a Bible with you, will you turn to Mark chapter 1? So we're going to have a look, Mark chapter 1, 29 to 34 to begin with. As you read through the Gospels and if you have a look at the life of Jesus, one of the things certainly that stands out to me is that Jesus was a healer, that Jesus healed people. It's one of the major themes as you read through the Gospels. It's one of the major things that Jesus did. It took up a massive amount of Jesus' time healing the sick. He is a healer. And in Mark 1, 29 to 34, we read this story. As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever, and they told Jesus about her. So he went to her, took her hand, and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick, the demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was. Look on down to verse 40 and to 42. It says this, a man with leprosy came and begged him on his knees, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing, he said, be clean. Immediately, the leprosy left him and he was cured. So what we see a lot of the times, and those are just a couple of examples that I've read to you, is that Jesus was a healer. He healed people. He healed various people with various diseases. That was something of who he is. It's his heart. So whenever we encounter Jesus in the New Testament, we encounter someone who heals. We encounter someone who is healer. Now, we need to preface everything that I'm going to say with the fact that healing is a really difficult subject to approach from the Word of God. It's a difficult subject for us to talk about because it's very emotive, because all of us will have had different experiences, whether we've experienced healing, whether we haven't. And it can become something that isn't just talked about out here as a concept, but it's something that's very near and dear. And, you know, with the whole concept and the whole teaching of healing within the Scriptures, there's a lot of questions. And some questions are hard to ask, and some are even harder to answer, aren't they? It is just one of those topics. It's really difficult. And so during this series that we're doing over the next 3 weeks, we do want to try our best to set a framework for how we understand healing to have operated in the New Testament, how we see it today, and how we expect to see it, and the framework that Scripture gives us in the big picture of theology and doctrine and all of that. We want to have a look at that, and how do we frame it, and how do we put it in, how do we understand it? Good luck in 3 weeks, eh? But that's going to be our heart to try to do that, okay? So as I've said, there's a lot of questions and there's a lot of things that we find difficult. What I want to do this morning is I'm going to stick to what we absolutely know, okay? I'm leaving the harder questions to Bill tonight and a few other things as we move forward. But we want to have a look, excuse me, just moving that out of the way. We want to have a look today at what does the Bible actually say about who God is? In fact, what does God say about who he is? Because one thing that I'm sure of is that God is a compassionate healer. It's what he says in his word, and healing is on his agenda. God is compassionate to heal, and healing is something that he is and that he does. In fact, it's one of the ways that God refers himself to himself within Scripture. Many of you, I'm sure, will be able to quote back to me that the Hebrew designation for God as healer is Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha, it's found in Exodus 15, 26. And it says this, I am the Lord who heals you. Now, this is really important because this is God telling us something about himself. Okay, this is not us trying to decipher what he might be like or hoping that he might be like. This is who God is. And whenever you study theology and doctrine, which we're all students of, we discover that if God is something, he is it to its fullness. So for example, whenever God says that God is love, that doesn't mean that he's loving on a Monday, but maybe not on a Tuesday. Isn't that right? But whenever we encounter God, we encounter love itself. Whenever we encounter God, we encounter the very essence of what love is. He is love, and he can never be exhausted of love. He can never be drained of his love. It's who he is. So loving's what he does. Does that make sense? So whenever God declares himself as a healer, healing and being a healer is who he is, and healing's what he does. And we can't exhaust it from him. It's not like we're going to get 3 healings this morning and then that's God's filled his quota. Do you know, he's a bit tired for the day. Let's rest for tomorrow. We cannot exhaust God of his ability to heal because it's who he is, and he is that eternally. So whenever he has declared himself, I am the Lord that heals you, he's not just declaring something for us to know today. It's something of who he is. It's part of his makeup. It's an attribute of God that has existed for all of eternity and will exist for all of eternity to come. He is healer. That's exactly who he is. I am the Lord who heals you. It's God's self-revelation, something that God wants us to know about him. I am the Lord who heals you. That word, Rapha, it means to restore, to embalm, to heal. It's used loads of times in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, as it's being written in Hebrew. It's used in Genesis 20:17, and you'll remember the story when Abraham is near Abimelech, and Abimelech takes Sarah, and Abraham lies to him and says, this is my sister, and it wasn't. And so God brought judgment onto the house of Abimelech, and that judgment was that he sealed up the wombs of the people and the women within that area for that period of time for Abimelech to go, right, there's something not right here. And whenever we read in Genesis 20:17, we read of God healing that barrenness, God bringing healing to those women. In 1 Kings 18:30, we find the story of Elijah and the altar of God. So whenever he's in Mount Carmel, he restores the altar of God. And that's the word that's used, restoring or repairing. So it's used in that regard as well. Another story of one of the prophets, Elisha, in 2 Kings 2:21, when there's that strange story of when they went out and the spring was bitter. And it says there in 2 Kings 2:21 that Elijah went out to the spring of water and threw salt in it and said, thus says the Jehovah or the Lord, I have purified, and that's that word, Rapha, purified, cleansed, restored, made whole. I have purified these waters. There shall not be from them death or unfruitfulness any longer. So there's a wide range of what Rapha actually means. We are much more familiar with how it's used in Isaiah 53. So again, if you have your Bibles, come with me to Isaiah chapter 53. We're going to read verses 4 to 5. Isaiah 53:4-5. It's a prophecy about Jesus, and it said, surely he took up our infirmities and carried our sorrows, yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Rapha. It's that same word, Rapha. So God has declared himself to be Jehovah Rapha. Jehovah Rapha. And we know, so we're just putting the pieces together here. Jesus was a healer. He healed people. It was one of his major activities. God has declared in the Old Testament, God the Father, I am the Lord who heals you. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We know that in terms of the attributes of God, what God the Father has, God the Son has, God the Spirit has, and they have it to its fullness. So God, the Holy Trinity, is a healer. He heals. It's who he is. So what does Rapha cover? Let me narrow it down a little bit for us today. Rapha, the God who heals us, is used in a number of different ways. I'm going to use 3 this morning because that's what preachers do, don't we? 3. The first one is this, that it applies to spiritual healing. In 2 Chronicles 7, 14. We're very familiar with this passage of Scripture. And it just says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Rapha, heal their land. And so part of this spiritual healing, part of who God is that he brings healing. The healing here was the healing to the nation. Healing here was a spiritual healing for a nation that had gone far away from God, a nation that had turned its back on God. And yet God says that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. Rapha, spiritual healing. And I believe that applies for us today, that there's a longing within the heart of God to pour out his healing on the land, his restoration, revival. I mean, something stirred him when we sung that song today. That, can you hear revival? Revival. I feel God wants to do something in our nation. I believe that God wants to, and I can see the beginnings of it, but he's turning up the heat. The tide is rising. God is doing something in our nation at this moment in time, and I believe that he wants to heal our nation. I believe that God wants to do something extraordinary and marvelous in our days if my people will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways. There's this spiritual healing that God wants to bring, I believe, to communities, to nations. I mean, it breaks my heart when I look out and I see the world that we're living in, and it's gone crazy. Maybe we've just got used to it. But if we were able, if we had lived, I'm even thinking 20 years ago, if you transported 17-year-old me to now, you would have a culture shock. You would just be going, what? Seriously? What is going on? Our world is falling apart. We live where people, and please, this is not me being, I'm not being political, I'm not being, but it breaks my heart that we've got to this place, that we live in a place where for those of us who, and please understand, there's no antagonism in my heart here. I'm trying to just draw something out of this. But we live in a day where heterosexual marriage seems to be not so much in vogue. And for you to believe in that and only that, you're a weirdo. That you're, and somehow in our warped thinking, in our fallenness, and in our brokenness, in our unhealed state, we're starting to accept it. As and I, whenever I'm saying we as a nation, that it's becoming something that, oh well, that's okay. We're seeing that there's more and more of a move and a drive towards accepting abortion. And for those of us who believe that life starts at conception, that's weird. You're just being a fundamentalist. And guys, this isn't something that we should be angry about in terms of, I don't believe we should be picketing it. We shouldn't be shouting at people. We shouldn't be yelling at people, putting angry posts on Facebook or vlogging or blogging or whatever it is you do these days. I believe part of it comes as we carry the healing heart of God. Because God wants to heal our nation. And those are symptoms of a broken, sick nation that God wants to pour out his healing touch on. That's more of our response. You know, we live around communities where people find it hard to do family because they don't know how to do relationships because they've never had a healthy relationship. They're married 3 and 4 times. And please, this is not judgmental. This is just saying we live in a really broken world. We live in a world, and maybe a lot of us are shielded from it, but it's broken out there. And God's heart as a healer is to heal the land. God's heart as a healer is to be a compassionate healer and to use you and me to heal the land. I believe Jehovah Rapha wants to heal our land. Spiritual healing. But then it comes and zooms into us. In Psalm 41:4, it says, I said, have mercy on me, Lord. Heal me. Again, that word Rapha, heal me. For I have sinned against you. And so God brings spiritual healing into our hearts and into our lives. He's a restorative God. It's what he does. And so right from salvation, right throughout our whole experience with him, he heals us. He makes us new. He restores. He does what only he can do within our hearts. And the picture of the word of God is in Ephesians 2, and I know I go on about this all the time, but that we were dead in our sins and our transgressions, but he made us alive. You see, he restored us. He made us new. He healed our broken state, and he has given us an opportunity to know him. But the picture of the New Testament is just beautiful. So the picture goes from those of us who were dead to those of us who are full and overflowing. So if you think about the story, I know I used it a number of weeks ago in regards of Ezekiel chapter 37 and the dry bones. And that story of Ezekiel looking at the dry bones and God saying, can these bones live again? Well, it's such a picture of what God does as a healing God. He looks at the dryness and the deadness within our hearts, and yet he raises us up to be an army that can actually see a change in a nation. He raises us up. He does amazing, wonderful things within our hearts. He speaks life to us, and he makes us life givers. That's the picture that we get, that spiritual healing. He doesn't just get us back on our feet for ourselves, but he gives us overflow so that we become an army that makes a difference in the world that we live in. Look at Acts chapter 2, verse 16, because that's the picture that's going on there. That's as God breathes. As God breathes in Acts chapter 2, and we read that in 1 to 11, that the breath of God comes into that upper room, that he breathes into these disciples, these apostles, these 120 people who are passionately seeking him, and God breathes into their life and into their lives, and they in turn bring life to the nations and the city that are around them. And this is what happens. Peter stands up and he says, verse 16, no, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit and they will prophesy, and so on and so forth. You can read the whole chapter. It's an amazing message that he brings. But the picture is that we go from being dead and lifeless to being those who are filled with the Spirit and prophesying. What is prophecy all about? It's about bringing life words to people. It's about bringing the life of God, the message of God, the good news of God, the hope of God. That's what prophecy is. If anybody prophesies over you and it brings death, it's not from God. If somebody prophesies over you, even if it's correction, it should bring life. It should bring hope. It should bring restoring and healing within your heart. And so that's that picture that we get, is that God takes lifeless, dead bones, those of us who were dead in our transgressions and sins, and he brings life so that we then bring life to the world around us. Isn't that incredible? What a beautiful picture of what God is doing within our hearts. So here's the good news, that if you don't know Jesus yet, well, you can know him and know life. The good news is if you're backslidden today and you're walking away from God, well, he can restore you. He can make you whole and bring life and allow you to be a river that flows life into your family, into the community that you live in, and further afield even. The good news is that if we're cold, like the church at Ephesus, that we're doing everything right, they had all the religion down, but they'd lost their first love. Well, he's the God who restores the first love within our hearts. Like the church at Laodicea that were lukewarm again, they had all the I's dotted and all the T's crossed, but they weren't really functioning in God. They'd become a society, they'd become a social club, and yet God says, I want to come and dine with you. He restores our passion again. So where are you today? Do you need spiritual healing? Do you need the restoration of God? Have you become cold in him? Are you backslidden today? Have you walked away? Have you lost your first love? Have you just become a bit that it's all become obligation? It's all become religion? It's all become just a bit dry and a bit boring? Well, allow God today to restore, to heal passion within your heart, to heal you, to restore, to repair, to remend, to do what only he can do, to refire so that we can be the answer that we talked about today. There, that we can be the people that go out with healing in our hearts to see this nation healed. Hallelujah. He's a healing God. Jehovah Rapha. It's who he is. It's what he does. Second one then is emotional healing. So it covers spiritual and it covers emotional. He heals those with a crushed spirit. Okay, this is slightly, this idea of spirit is your will, your passion, your desire to get on, spirit, small s. You know, you talk about someone who's spirited, you know, because they're all go. But then there's the crushed spirit. That part of us that's just crushed. Proverbs 18:14 says, the human spirit can endure sickness, but a crushed spirit, who can bear? I read a comment on that, and it just said that, you know, what that's saying is that so often we can bear even sometimes the worst of things physically, but sometimes a crushed spirit, even when there's nothing physically wrong with us, it's the thing that can put us down. And so many of us have experienced a crushed spirit. Proverbs 17:22 says, a cheerful heart is good medicine. Okay, so smile. Give yourself a dose of Calpol right now. Give yourself a smile, okay? No, seriously. Right. A cheerful heart. Some of us need to put this in the mirror, okay? Sunday mornings, a cheerful heart. Where do you go? I am kidding. Right. A cheerful heart. What does it mean, McFetridge used to say? You happy? Tell your face. Right. So, a cheerful heart. A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones. A crushed spirit, it speaks of discouragement, despair, despondency. And the picture that I have of it whenever I think of it in my mind is something that comes in on your life that feels too strong for you. Something that comes in and it weighs you down. It crushes you from each side. It feels like there's no way out. It's not just, oh, I feel a wee bit down today. A crushed spirit is when something feels like it's dropped on you like a ton of bricks. And you know what? It can be a big event, or it can just be a drip, 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 drip. Or it can be a perfect storm of loads of things that have come within your life. And it crushes us down. Feeling a weight that's too heavy for us, just feeling crushed. Have you ever felt that feeling of just not able to get your head lifted? Just like a crushed spirit. It can be caused by so many things within our lives. It can be caused by grief, be caused by struggling with depression, with anxiety, fear, stress, constant disappointment, disillusionment, even the hurts of our past and how people have hurt us and things that have been said. I mean, there's nothing more crushing at times than discouraging and critical and negative words that can come in and crush your spirit. I mean, there's times I'm talking to adults and people much even older than me, but yet something that was said by a school teacher many, many years ago, it's crushed a part of their heart. It's crushed part of their spirit because they said, you'll never be anything, you'll never achieve anything. Or their parent has said, you're not as creative as your brother or your sister, or you're not this. And words, hurtful words, negative words have come in and they've crushed. A crushed spirit. Disappointment, disillusionment. But I prayed for that thing and it never happened. I longed for that thing. God, I did all, you know, the 7 steps to this and the 3 steps to that. And I cried out and God, it didn't happen. It hasn't come to pass. Hurts and heartbreak. Crushed spirit. Loss. Just life getting on top of you. I think if you live long enough, you experience at least one of those, don't you? You experience something of that coming in on your life and that crushing. And yet he is Jehovah Rapha. He is the God who heals us. And there's a stronger truth than all of those truths. They do come in, but he is stronger and he is our healer. Psalm 34:18 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. So if you're feeling crushed today, you need to get a hold of that word. That's what I'm saying about, here's what we know. We know that that's what God says, and God's not a liar. God tells the truth. So he will save me. If I feel crushed today, he will save me. He will rescue me. That's the truth of his word. Psalm 147 verse 3 said, he heals, Rapha, okay, the same word. He heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Who is this God that we worship? He's the God who heals our hearts. He's the God, Jehovah Rapha, that heals our hearts. He binds up our wounds. He brings healing into even our emotional, our inside goings on. Psalm 23, verse 3 says that he restores my soul. He restores. He restores. He restores. And we know restoration isn't... You ever gone into a house that needed a lot of work done? Probably most of us have bought a house or lived in a house that we moved in and we didn't like the decor. Takes a while, doesn't it? But he restores. He restores. He restores my soul. And so maybe you're still feeling a bit crushed. Maybe you're still feeling a bit... Oh. Well, he restores. Allow him as you journey with him to restore you, to make you whole. It's who he is and it's what he does. Psalm 27 verse 1 says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Psalm 3 verse 3 says, "But you, Lord, are a shield around me, my glory, the one who lifts my head high." You feel like you can't get your head lifted? He's the one that lifts our heads. He's the one who heals and restores. It's only him. Psalm 86, 13 says, "For great is your love toward me. You have delivered me from the depths of the realm of the dead." Wow. Wow. Great is your love toward me because you've delivered me, Lord. Psalm 73, 26 says, "My heart and my flesh may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." He's my strength. Psalm 91, 1 to 2 says, "Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. He is Jehovah Rapha. He's the God who heals us." Matthew 11, 28 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." It's who he is. It's what we can expect from him. Jehovah Rapha, the healer of my heart, my brokenness, and everything that's going on inside. And hey, maybe you're just a wee bit like the swan. Do you know? You're just so elegant sitting here. Oh, life's brilliant. But underneath... How many of us are like that? But he's our Jehovah Rapha. He's a God who heals us. And he sees this much more than he sees the "I'm fine." Thirdly, he brings physical healing. Psalm 103. If you go there with me, please. Look at verses 1 to 3, and it says, "Praise the Lord," or "Bless the Lord, O my soul. O my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases." God, pardon me, our God has declared himself to be Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. Jesus is our healer. And Jesus' intent wasn't that healing would stop with him, but that it would continue. Because sometimes we have this idea that Jesus was just doing all of those. He was declaring himself to be who he was, and we shouldn't expect that kind of stuff today. I would really want to disagree with that statement. I believe that Jesus still wants to heal and still wants to pour out his healing in our midst. Because his intent was that healing continues through those who follow him. Have a look at Mark 16. Mark 16, verses 15 to 18, and it says, "He said to them, 'Go into all the world and preach the good news to the creation, to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons, they will speak in new tongues, they will pick up snakes with their hands, and when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well.'" In Acts 3, 1 to 10, We see after Jesus' ascension and his pouring out of the Holy Spirit, the church is starting to flow. Peter has done his big preach. Loads of people have got saved. And yet, God still wants to heal. In Acts 3, 1-10, it says, one day, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. At 3 p.m, now a man crippled from birth was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver and gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. When all the people saw him walking and praising God, they recognized him as the same man who used to sit begging at the temple gate called Beautiful, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Look on to James chapter 5. James 5 and 13 to 15. And in writing to the church, James says, "Is any one of you in trouble? He should pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he has sinned, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective." We see in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 that one of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and if you remember through our teaching on the gifts of the Holy Spirit, one of the words that's used in the introduction of that is that we understand that whenever the Spirit is moving and we have one of these gifts of the Spirit moving, so whether it's tongues, interpretation of tongues, prophecy, whether it's a manifestation of the Spirit like healing or miracles or whatever else it is, it talks about it being the workings of God. That workings is the word energemata, which means it's the energy of God. God is moving in the place whenever one of these things happen. And there's an expectation that there would be those who would be particularly gifted. I believe we all can lay our hands on the sick and we could all see someone recover. And yet there are those who are particularly gifted to do that by the Holy Spirit with gifts of healing, and they flow in that and move in that. And that's incredible. But why would the Holy Spirit gift people to do that if we weren't still meant to be doing it? I believe that healing is going on God's agenda. He hasn't stopped. He continues to heal. We had a beautiful story of that last week from Tim and Kim. I don't know about you guys, I was so moved by that. Thought it was so real. Loved how they talked about it even at the start, and they were so gentle about that. Because as I've said at the beginning, this is a very emotive thing where things come to our minds when we're thinking of healing, and it becomes very touchy within us at times. And yet, we're declaring the truth of God's word today. He is Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. That was a beautiful story, as I said, about Josh last week. I don't know. I know there are stories of healing within this room. I know that we've been seeing healing on occasions out in the streets with the street team as they've prayed for people. I don't know whether you physically have ever experienced healing. I've actually experienced healing in two areas that you would think of, Big Whiz. But I think God's interested in the small things too. Before I went to Kenya, I went to Kenya for 9 weeks as part of my Bible college field term. And just before I went, we were going to be doing loads of walking, and I was really struggling with an issue in my knee, and it just kept locking. And I was thinking, boy, is it there, all the traveling I'm going to have to do, everything. And I remember the night before I left, I just put my hand on my knee, and I just went, "Lord, it'd be really great if you'd heal this." And this is a really light thing. I'm telling you a light thing because I've never had any of the big things. But I remember thinking, "Lord, would you do this?" And it really had bothered me. It was a bit of a sports injury and, yeah, the athlete that I am. It had constantly locked up. It was a constant bother to me just before leaving. Halfway through being in Kenya, I realized I haven't been bothered with that at all. Never bothered with it since. Never bothered with it since. Many of you who've been here long enough would have known that I used to struggle getting tonsillitis all the time. I used to get tonsillitis nearly once a week at times. You know, and my system would have been so much down that there was probably only about a day or two within the month that I was feeling healthy. The other days I was feeling because of the way that affects your system and your body. I'd been referred to the consultant to get them out. Still, my tonsils are very pitted and scarred. But at that stage, they were massive in my throat, actually. They were really, really big. And inflamed even whenever I didn't have tonsillitis. And it was coming up to Bible week one year, and it was with the worship team of the youth, and I was saying, guys, I can feel this coming on me, because anybody has ever had it, you feel it coming. It's a real blow. That's horrible. And then the poison from your tonsils, and oh, it's just not nice at all. Anyway, I was going to tell you about being sick and all, but I won't tell you that. But all right. But it wasn't great. You could always feel it. And I remember saying to the guys, I can really feel this coming on me again. And they prayed for me as a worship team. And if I'm being honest, I probably didn't have a load of faith for it, because I'd just constantly been sick with it. So I wasn't expecting to get a massive healing. I was just doing the thing that you do. I feel sick. Will you pray for me? Amen. I walk away, like not expecting anything, because that's what we do, don't we? Yeah, a lot of us do it. Okay. A lot of us kind of, yeah. I mean, so the other week, whenever we prayed for shoulders, I would want to know how many people checked their shoulder to see if it got healed. Because actually, sometimes that step of faith is whenever it hits in for us, okay? So that's something that maybe next week we'll talk a bit more about, is stepping into that and believing for more. And we'll talk about the wisdom of that, okay? So just don't do anything silly this week. Let's talk about it next week. But during the prayer, I physically felt something lift off me. That weight, that heaviness, that just all around here, I physically felt that lift off me. I've never had tonsillitis since. That was years ago. It was years ago. I was able to go to the consultant. He says, when was the last time you had tonsillitis? I says, such and such. He says, do you want to get these out? He says, nope. He says, okay, dead on. It was the shortest probably consultation she'd had all day. It was like happy days. God is a healer. Now, those are wee silly things. Some of you are dealing with much bigger things. I get that. I'm only telling you my silly things to say, well, if God cared about that, he cares about everything. He cares about it all. And we don't have all of the answers. And stick with us through the whole series. I really ask you to do that. Stick with us through the whole series. My declaration today is he's a healer. And he heals. And we're pursuing him for healing. And we're saying, God, and here's the thing, whenever I say pursuit, see, people hear different words. I'm saying I'm running after something I know's there for me. So I'm not striving. I'm not trying to talk to a stingy God. God, oh, please, God, oh, please, God. I'm talking to a God who loves us, who is a healer, who is sovereign as well, and we allow him to be sovereign. We're not making demands on him that aren't ours to make. But we're coming to him and going, God, we know that this is here for us. Would you pour out your healing? Would you touch our hearts? Would you touch our lives? Will you touch us physically? My Uncle George, this has been my last illustration. My Uncle George is a pastor in Carrie Duffelham. Some of you again will know his story, but I must have been about 12 or 13, and he had a massive brain hemorrhage. I think at the time he was working as a plumber, and he was in the middle of a job. Hopefully there was no leaks. in the middle of a job, and he just felt this excruciating pain. He just knew, I need to go. Drove to the hospital. Actually abandoned the car out in the front of A&E, and somebody said, you need to move that car, and he just threw the keys at them and said, you move it. If I don't, I'm going to die. He just knew something wasn't right. And he got in, they'd done the scans, he went in unconscious and all the things that happened, and it turned out he had a massive bleed within his head. And they really were thinking this wasn't going to be good for him, that he wasn't going to make it. And yet, God really put his hand on his life. And long story short, even the scan showed that there was no scarring. No scarring at all. But God had touched him. God is a healer. God touches us. He mends our hearts. He heals us. It's who he is. So today, where are we going with this? God's self-revelation is, I am Jehovah Rapha. I am Jehovah Rapha. I am the God who heals. I am the God who heals. It's what he wants us to know about him. It's not that he has hidden this for ages and we've discovered it. He put it in neon signs. He put it in here for us all to read. This is who I am. I am Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals.